The gospel of the grace of God is what the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul as he was on his way to Damascus to round up some more that believed on Jesus and persecute and, if need be, kill them. And the Lord gave him the revelation of the mystery eventually, and that is our truth. So prepare yourselves for Elder William Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God as we receive him with a hearty amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Deacon Gab, thank God for the Grace Gospel Church. Amen. Thank God for everyone here, even those that may be on their way. Amen. Thank God. We'll get right into the Word of God. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this day, oh God. Even corroboration, another writer says, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ. Father, right now we just thank you for blessing the Word of God today, Father. Bless it in every arena. Bless your people. Breathe upon your people today. Bless in every way, Father. Right now, oh God, we continue to pray for our pastor. We pray that you continue to strengthen him each day, Lord, according to your will, plan, and purpose. And continuing to encourage his heart, bless the entire Cutler family, Lord. Oh God, even those in Florida. Amen. Bless us on you can. We thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you for the word of God today. Let Christ be exalted. Let Christ be magnified. Let put flesh out the way. Let everything point to Christ and him crucified. We thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word of God today. Amen. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll say this again, for those, and as we all know, this ministry goes worldwide. Amen. If the Lord could manifest the show, reveal to us, in essence, the number of people that hear this message on a Sunday, I don't think we can handle it in terms of, we know where it goes in terms of Africa, you know, countries, Philippines. Amen. Pakistan. But in terms of the number of people that we're actually touching, I mean, we can probably safely say it's in the millions now. Amen. And it's but what? Small place. God has always done great things in small places. And even the website, for those that listen to my voice by way of the website, let's continue to keep passing in your prayers. He's still on rest and recovering after a major surgery. But thank God. So continue to bless and continue to pray for our pastor. Amen. We're talking to him almost on a daily basis. I talked to him yesterday, and he's encouraged. But he still needs his rest. Amen. So let's continue to do that. Amen. All right. Okay, like Deacon Gavin mentioned the time. Oh, amen. I promise you all, I won't be over. I better move on. I see some eyes there. No, I'm not going to break my record today. Okay, amen. All right, at this time, we are going to go right into our scripture. Let's go to, in fact, the Lord has not released me yet. I believe this is probably part three, I believe. The grace gospel and the kingdom gospel. You know, and see, God gives you confirmation, because I talked to a brother just 2 days ago. He said, Elder, I've been studying the Bible for 20, 25 years, and I've never heard he was introduced to this ministry, he never heard, and he's a student, you know, his brother studies the word, but he's never heard of drawing a line of demarcation between what? The grace gospel and the kingdom gospel. The church, like, how many times pastor always say, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will never understand it. Not only will you understand it, you'll be confused. And how many of you know God does not want people to be confused? But the part of the liberation is drawing a line of demarcation among these messages. Let grace be grace, let kingdom be kingdom. So Deacon Gavin, as I read, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. And we can call this grace gospel versus kingdom gospel. I believe it's either part 3 or 4, I believe. Anyway, amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Deacon Gavin is our reader. Deacon, are you convinced? You can begin reading. Again, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
As was stated, we're reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, King James Version. Mm-hmm. As Paul says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also.
Yes.
And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them mm-hmm. that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
Okay.
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Mm-hmm.
But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me,
mm-hmm.
God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me,
mm-hmm.
but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision mm-hmm. was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Now, church, I want you, if for those of you that have a pen, and I see a lot of you do, please underline verse 7. Underline the whole verse. Underline it. If you have a red pen, yellow, underline that, please, church, because that's going to highlight what we're going to talk about, the gospel of the uncircumcision to the Gentiles. And the by and large, the population of the Gentiles, were by and large, that's the folks, the body of Christ. The gospel of the Gentiles, the gospel references the body of Christ. And the gospel of the circumcision, Peter versus, that's the gospel to the commonwealth of Israel. So you have God's elect, the body of Christ, and God's elect, the commonwealth of Israel. And church, if you do not separate these electives, body of Christ, God has instructions for. That's us. Commonwealth of Israel, God has directives. You must draw a line of demarcation around those. Now, let's verse 7. Let's read this in the Internet Greek. Amen. Deacon Gavin's going to read verses 2 and verse 7. He's going to read this in the Internet Greek now. Okay?
Now, Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, from the interlineal Greek text. But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision, as Peter of the circumcision.
The gospel of the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. And some chosen Jews as well. Amen? Because we know in the body of Christ there's neither what? Bond free, male free, male. We are all Jew, Gentile. We are all what? One in the body of Christ that God chose in eternity. And in that church, let me say this. When I was out here 2 weeks ago, I made a reference to our abode is in Christ. Our eternal abode is what? In Christ. And I reference, for those of you that were not here, we read Revelation, which I made the statement that all our life, I mean, I remember Sunday school. I was told, William, now you be good now, and you be good, you act right, and one day God's going to take you to this beautiful city. And by the way, we're not, see, that's one thing about grace. People think that when you're talking about grace, oh, you know, no, you shouldn't talk about sin. Listen, God hates sin. How many times have I said that? God hates sin. Even Sunday school this morning, God, but the thing about it, in grace, God is not taking a bet in heaven every time you mess up, he's going to whack you over the head. Somebody said, why do I feel bad when I mess up? That's the Spirit of God just teaching you, amen, that's admonishing you to move forward in Christ. But there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. But anyway, when I made the statement that our prioritized focus is not this beautiful city. See, we've been taught that this beautiful city is a trillion miles away, and one day we doubt we're going to go there. Well, we read a couple of weeks ago, first of all, this beautiful city is going to come down from the heavens to the earth. And we read in Revelation, well, again, what should I tell you? That's a kingdom. John, who wrote the Revelation? John was a kingdom apostle. So it tells you that what you're going to get is kingdom, which that, and then we recognize, we read this, we don't have time to do it today, but we describe that city in terms of being what? So how high, so wide. That's a beautiful physical city. Why? The kingdom gospel is a physical gospel. Now, let's take this one step further. When I made the statement that the New Jerusalem is not our prioritized focus, I saw a couple of people had some fuzzy eyes. See, it's one thing I learned in terms of when I was a teacher. I remember whenever you make a statement, whenever students' eyes begin, they get a little fuzzy, it tells you better go back. Yeah. Because we have some teachers here, Sister Rose, Sister Cutler, Sister Ernestine. When you're teaching, in other words, if you see those fuzzy eyes, called body language, it tells you, well, I didn't quite get that. So, because I know we have been told that that beautiful city is our home. Now, first of all, will we be there? Absolutely, church. Will Christ be there? Christ, who is in that kingdom messianic gospel, he's going to rule from Jerusalem. Amen? And in essence, we're in Christ. So we'll be there to the degree that we're in Christ. But that beautiful city, but not, that's a beautiful city, amen? But that's the city that God, the culmination of the promise that God made to Abraham. That one day, Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years. And one day, God's going to take away all this wickedness from this world, right? But we're in Christ, church. And our position in Christ is greater than us being in a boat in a new city. Our position in Christ. Now, let's go further. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Well, somebody said, well, if the new Jerusalem is not our home, where is our home? Somebody said, oh, that beautiful city, you mean that's not, yes, you'll be, that's a beautiful city, church, but we have something greater. God has something greater for us as members in the body of Christ. What, somebody said, what can be so greater? What can be greater than a city paved with gold? All these beautiful, we describe that city. John described that in Revelation. What can be greater? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Can you, yes, we can go there.
Now, we're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, King James Version.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Now,
according
as
he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Now, they're going to do something else, church. For those that have a pen, and most of you, if you have a King James, that places is probably going to be written in italics. That tells you, church, that it was not in the original manuscript. It was added by the translator. You know why? The heaviness is all spiritual. They wanted in this case, the King James Brethren wanted to make a spiritual abode a physical abode. So they just inserted places there. You know me talking about a place. This church is located at 1545 where? Pinecrest.
This is the physical address or the physical place of the Grace Gospel Church. Where you live on your street, that's your physical address, the place where you live. So that's your, quote, physical abode. So what they did, because they were intimidated by spirituality, so they want to make this what? Physical. If you have places there, cross it out. It doesn't belong there. Now, we're not beating up the King James today, but we're making a point that your position is in the heavenlies. Yes. And where is the heavenlies, church?
In Christ.
Now, notice, I'm going to go very slow because I don't want to see no fuzzy eyes today. I'm going very slow. But I am going to say a few things today. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Amen. Mm-hmm. But the heavenlies is in Christ. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Deacon Gavin can read 11 through 13. We'll read the King James and the Greek. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. I'm going to go very slow. Okay.
Now we're reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. King James Version first. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles mm-hmm. in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision mm-hmm. in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
13.
But now,
mm-hmm.
in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
When are you in Christ Jesus, church? But now. Are you in Christ Jesus? Read verse 13 in the interlinear, please.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, from the interlinear Greek text. Now, but in Christ Jesus, ye the then being afar were made or became near by the blood of Christ.
But now are you, we in Christ Jesus. Church, we're going to link Ephesians 13, what Deacon Gavin just read. We're going to link this back to Ephesians chapter 1. In other words, we basically stated that we just read that we are in the heavenlies in Christ. Where's the heavenlies? In Christ. Verse 13 tells us, but now are you in Christ. If the heaviness is in Christ, and if you are now in Christ, that means that you are now in heaven.
No, it's my, I got to say this again.
I'm going to go very slow because I see some fuzzy eyes. Now, Bible, now this is the Word of God is saying, church. I'm going to repeat. That's another characteristic I learned by teaching. Now, I'm not going to tell y'all students. I'm just going to, that's my ninth grade stuff, right? When you were in Christ, you were in Christ, you were chosen in Christ in eternity. Ephesians chapter 1. Right, Ella Karen? We were chosen in Christ. And where is it in Christ? It's in the heavenlies. The heavenlies is in Christ. But here's the key. At what point are we in Christ? We're in Christ right now. And if we're in Christ right now, that means that we're in heaven right now. We're in heaven right now. And everything that is connected to in heaven, the eternal blessings we have right now. Not trying to get one day.
Hallelujah.
One day when I get to this beautiful city. No, we're in heaven right now because we're in position in Christ right now. But now, not in the future. But now are we in Christ Jesus. So that means that every abode that's connected to being in Christ, that means that's where the real, you know, the real, what is real? The real is things that's everlasting, church. If we're connected, we're in Christ right now, that means that what? Is salvation real? We know it is. Why? Because salvation is being in Christ. Everything that relates to being in Christ is real. Salvation is real. Sanctification is real. Adoption is real. Justification is real. Propitiation is real. Reconciliation is real. Agape love. These are all real because this is a component of being in Christ. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we all get off. Because many of God's people are getting beat up. They're beating themselves up over things that are not real. Now, when I say not real, don't run out here. See, some of you may say, wait a minute. Don't call the pastor. Say, Pastor, you better sit Elder there and let Deacon Gavin and Elder Karen, because, you know, he's talking about things not real. Wait a minute. Let the Spirit talk, church. Because we have been so focused on physicality that we've avoided spirituality. See, everything that's temporary is really not real. It's real to the degree that it manifests in the matrix. So I'm not saying that things you're going through is not real, church. But what we are saying, if you're looking at where your abode, what you're going through right now, ask you a question. Is it everlasting? If it's not everlasting, that means it's only temporary. Temporary means one day it's going to be out of here. That means I wrote down a few things. Death. Technically, death is not real. Time is not real. Sickness is not real. Cancer is not real. Distress and turmoil is not real. Now, they are real to the degree of manifestation in the matrix. Yes. But in terms of actualized eternality, one day God is going to get rid of these things. So anything that God is going to eliminate, it never was real. Still quiet in here. From the standpoint of eternity, your physical life, church, absent from the body, present with the Lord. One day God's going to destroy this body. Was your body real from what? Eternity. Everything that's in the matrix, God is going to get rid of, because matrix is nothing but your conscience and life moving through time. And the only thing that's lasting is what has always been, and that is in Christ. Everything else, it's just an experience that God put here, these sequential testimony depictions for testimonial purposes only. But they were not meant here to be, they were not meant to be last forever.
No.
You see, when I was, about 2 years ago, I said, wait a minute, this is too deep. The fact that we're in Christ, we always, what, have been in Christ. But somebody said, what about these experiences that I'm dealing with in the earth, in time? But this is what God did. Some of you may remember when you were 4 years old. Some of you may remember the first thought you had in this time. It was on the fact that God moved your conscience in the time capsule, but you operate in your consciousness in time, but you have never left your abode in Christ. You are moving through time. The experience that we go through in time, church, but we have always been in Christ. Now, I heard people say, well, one day I'm going to die, and then I'm going to go, I'll be in Christ then. Wait a minute. That's not scriptural. You have always been in Christ. Amen. Ephesians 1:4. We were chosen in Him and before the foundation of the world. Always been in Christ. So, the key is this. How can you go through time, but yet always being in Christ? And that's where people put demarcations around the workings of God. They'll say, well, I'm in time now, and then one day God is going to get rid of time, then I'll be back in Christ. No. You have always been in eternity because you have always been in Christ. He's the head, you're the body, you're the member's body. Always, always have been in Christ. But then, see, you know, because we live in the natural, you say, how can you be somewhere but be somewhere else at the same time? You know, your mind, see, sometimes your mind is going, you know. So 2 years ago, I was praying about this. I said, Lord, this is so deep. And the Lord put this on my heart. Please, some of you may not have been here, and I'm gonna go back to this situation, to the Wizard of Oz example, because I got to go back, because some of you, I don't think everybody's here, so I got to go back, because I said, Lord, that's deep. To be always in Christ, never left home, but you're going through these experiences, and it appears that you are 1,000,000,000 miles away from heaven, but you are always being in Christ. So for those of you that weren't here, in fact, by the way, those that are listening by way of the telecast, the internet, there's a story called The Wizard of Oz, which it's a fairy tale, amen? But just for those of you, just bear with me for those of you know what I'm going to say. But it gives an example, church, of how our conscience operates, but at the same time, our abode has always been in Christ.
Right.
We've never left home.
No.
Now, we know the story. For those of you by radio land or internet land, this is a story of a young girl named Dorothy who was living in Kansas with her aunt and her uncle. Dorothy had a dog named Toto who bit a neighbor. So the neighbor arrives with permission from the sheriff to have the dog destroyed. Toto escapes and returns to Dorothy. Dorothy and Toto decide to run away from the wrath of the cruel neighbor. And a fortune teller tricks Dorothy via this crystal ball into believing that her aunt is ill. We all know the story, but just bear with me. Dorothy races home, and what happens? A tornado. She gets caught in a tornado. Before she gets home, she goes into the living room trying to find her family. And what happens? She tries to get into the cellar to protect herself from the tornado. And this window pane hits her in the head. And what happens? Her conscience is moved to another place. And when her conscience is moved, some crazy things happen. The wicked witch, another wicked, said, woman's going to kill her because she had killed her sister. And the wizard, amen, told Dorothy that we're going to kill you. I mean, Dorothy had this beautiful place, but she had some crazy experiences. One, like she was in danger. The wicked witch of the West vows to kill her. In one case, the flying monkeys ambushes her. And the tin man, the lion, amen, and the scarecrow. All these crazy things. And then, when she goes through all of these crazy experiences, Dorothy's ultimate goal, I want to get back to home. And we know what happened. What happened? The good witch tells Dorothy her ruby shoes, tap those 3 times, and all of a sudden, Dorothy opens her eyes, and she is laying in the bed in Kansas, and there's her aunt soothing her. Now, all of these crazy experiences, you would think that her whole life evolved around what was happening. It wasn't real. Her real abode was where she was always, and that was in Kansas. She never left there. Never left there, church. You are here right now for today's date, September the 7th, 2014. You are going to go through some experiences. Some of you have had some crazy experiences for the past year. How many can raise your hand on that, right? Whatever you went through, church, understand, whatever you went through, whatever you're going through, you have never left being in Christ. Now, are you going to focus on these bad experiences? But somebody say, how can I get rid of these bad experiences? Well, stop breathing. You breathe, you're going to have some crazy stuff happening. Somebody say, why is that? Church, we live in this present evil age. So, in essence here, our abode is in Christ. So, you would think that the time, where Dorothy's locked in the room, and the witch flipped this hourglass. You still didn't remember. And what happened? It says, when this sand hits the bottom, Dorothy, you are dead. And that there's another person in here. You went through some experiences, and the devil put in your mind, some of you may have gone through something a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The devil says, you will never get out of this one. You are, down south they use the term, you are toast. I got you now. You are toast. You are toast. You'll never make it. Well, are you here now? Yes, you're here because God decreed that you would be here. It's God decreed for you here. The gospel of the grace of God.
You are here because God's purpose for you has not been fulfilled. That's why you're here. It's not a matter of you being lucky. It's not a matter of you being lucky. It's not. It's a matter of what? God's purpose for your life. Amen? So as we go through life, church, understand that God is in control. And understand that we have to focus on our gospel, because our gospel is a liberating gospel. Because again, our gospel looks at everything from the eternal view. That's why God's people are confused, because they are trying to focus on the directives that God gave to the Commonwealth of Israel. And the Commonwealth of Israel, that is the horizontal view. And by the way, here's the problem. Most of the things in that kingdom gospel are futuristic. Jesus said what? In that day, how many times? And one day I was reading this and I said, why? You know, we know the Lord is perfect. You know, Jesus is God, right? I said, why is it so many times Jesus said, in that day, in that day, in that day? He's trying to teach us something. In that future day. Not now. And many of God's people, again, are confused because they take what Jesus said in the future and try to apply that, or they take what Jesus said as to the Commonwealth of Israel, and they make that apply to the body of Christ. And what happens? There are books sold by the millions to God's people, and I'm not judging the authors of these books, but many times people buy these books out of fear. I was in a bookstore the other day, and you know what the title of the book was? I said, oh Lord, how to escape the mark of the beast. I said, oh Lord. Man of God's people, see, you know what I'm saying now? There's a great teaching telling us that you're going to get the body, the church is going to go through the tribulation. There's not a person in here that's not heard of that. The church is going to go through the tribulation. Well, that means that if you believe that you're going to go through the tribulation, that means that everything that applies to the tribulation is going to apply to you. But we know, what's the liberating thing about our gospel? We have been, God has not called us to wrath. We have been delivered. You know the next major event in this earth, we don't know when, but the next major event is the what? The catching away. God is going to rapture us out of here. That's the God of the great escape. But men of God's people, they will wear you down to tell you that you're going to go through the tribulation period. If you do not divide the Bible, because again, understand the scriptures, church, because if you mention a book, the first thing you should say, well, who's the author of that book? When you read Ephesians, well, you know that's our gospel. Colossians, Corinthians, Galatians. These are our directives. But the moment somebody tells you, go to Matthew, kingdom, and you're not going to get any further than kingdom, which is a great God message. But it's to Israel. But again, God's people, many have been told, now listen, you're going to go through the tribulation, so get ready. And they are told you some crazy things. Now, one thing, see, now we're going to say something about the Lord's Prayer, because many of God's people are confused about that. Because they do what? They do not draw a line of demarcation around the messages. Now, if you take the Lord's Prayer, but before we do that, see, now here's what God's, many of God's people are in fear. Because one day I was thinking, you know, one day my prayer was 25 years ago. I said, Lord, when the Antichrist come with, you know, Lord, please help me not to take the mark of the beast. Come on, church, I've been there. Lord, I don't want to take the mark of the beast, because you know whoever takes that mark, they are doomed forever. So, Lord, give me the strength not to take the mark, because I thought that I was going through the tribulation. Let's go to Revelation. See, now, before we go there, understand, we know that what we're about to read does not refer to the body of Christ. But we need to, God's people need to be liberated, and the only liberation is to understand the directives of the scripture. Many of God's people are convinced that they need to, they're going to take the mark of the beast. Now go to Revelation chapter 16. Now we don't have, for time's sake, but we know the story. They're going to have the Antichrist, God's going to raise him up, and he's going to raise havoc on most of the earth, right? But there's something that John said. John is the author, church.
So this tells you, John was a kingdom apostle. So this should tell you that what you're about to read is kingdom. The Grace Church is out of here. You see how wonderful it is to, you can go to scripture and not be scared or confused. Go there and read what the word is saying. All right, let's read Revelation 13-16. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16-18. Now let's see what a lot of God's people are confused about, church. Revelation 13, chapter 16, 17 and 18. And now before they read, now we know the Antichrist, God will raise him up, and what's going to happen? God is, there's going to be a situation where a person, they can't bow, sell, and all that. We know, we heard the story. And many of God's people are in fear today. Fear. Because they have not learned to divide scriptures. This, the fact that John wrote this tells you, it's written to, this message is to the Jews. It's to the Commonwealth of Israel. But let's read it from the light of our gospel. Amen. We're going to corroborate something from the light of our gospel. Amen. Okay, Deacon Gavin, you may read.
Now we're reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, beginning verse 17, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Or 16. 17 and 18.
Yes.
And he causeth all.
Who's he? That's the Antichrist. Okay.
Both small and great,
mm-hmm.
rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And that no man might buy or sell, save he had that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Okay, verse 18.
Here is wisdom. Let him that understand, that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
That's how they get 666, church. The mark of the beast is going to be, and that's why, again, God's people are confused because they try to say, oh, how can I prevent from taking this mark? Again, church, you won't be here. We will go, we'll be raptured away. This is God's message to Israel. But there's something else that we need to connect here. Notice, now, we mentioned earlier that the kingdom, gospel, church, there's a message in the kingdom gospel. Now, all our life, and keep that, what Deacon Gavin just read about the mark of the beast, because this is a direct connection between this and Matthew chapter 6. Again, we're going to corroborate some things. Go to Matthew. What Jesus said in Matthew, church, go to Matthew chapter 6. Amen? Now, and you will see, let's read the Lord's Prayer together. Read the whole Lord's Prayer, because that's something we all learn in Sunday school. A wonderful prayer. Matthew, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse Matthew 15. The great Lord's Prayer. Amen. You ready, Deke? Okay. Start at, Deke, I want you to start right at verse, chapter 9, beginning with the, I'm sorry, chapter 6, yes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. There we go. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to read it. Everybody can say this backwards, forward, sideways, but we're going to read it for some information here. Okay, let's read the whole Lord's Prayer.
After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven,
mm-hmm.
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
mm-hmm.
in earth,
mm-hmm.
as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Church, now I'm going to say 1,000 times, this is a wonderful prayer. We learned this in Sunday school. It's a wonderful prayer. But we need to understand that it is a kingdom prayer. It's a prayer that God, Jesus, gave to the Commonwealth of Israel for a purpose. Now, what is that purpose? Deacon Gavin just read over there in what? Revelation, where what's going to happen? No man might buy or sell, right? In fact, when I say a kingdom prayer, there's a different, a component of the kingdom. This is not a prayer in manifestation of that kingdom, because in that kingdom, there would be plenty everywhere. But this is really a 7-year tribulation prayer. Let me go further. Notice, let's go back to that prayer. Our Father, go to the beginning.
All right. Amen.
The kingdom, our Father, go back.
Our Father,
uh-huh,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Give us this day our daily bread.
In that day, church, in the 7-year tribulation period, when there would be a food rationing. In other words, there would be no Myers or Farmer Jack. They would be a food ration to the point where God is going to what? Force and guide Israel to depend upon him. In other words, those that God elected, they're not going to accept the mark of the beast. So they would pray, Lord, I'm not going to accept this mark. So Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And God will feed them according to his divine will, plan, and purpose. God is the prayer. Give us this day. Now, men of God's people, you take that today, it doesn't make any sense. Lord, give us this day. Now, I know we have hunger throughout many parts of the country, but especially in America. Look, church, the grace gospel, that prayer is not going to work for you today. Lord, give us this day. Now, many of you could be going out to eat today. Many of you have eaten too many calories today. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Come on, church, that does not work today. You have too much food. We give more food away to feed many countries. So to say, Lord, give us this day. Now, I know it's in a principle. When people have, families are hungry, right, it's a principle. Lord, you know, and the Lord will provide according to his will, plan, and purpose. But to make this a rule, give us this day, that is a prayer, a tribulation, that 7-year tribulation period prayer. And that's another thing that confuses God's people. They do not know the workings of God, because you understand, what is the purpose of the tribulation period? The purpose of the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. You have always been in Christ. God is not to what? Beat you over the head to bring you back to him, because you have always been in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, that doesn't mean that God won't chastise you. Amen. Come on now. God will lovingly chastise you in what? His own way. And every person in here, depend upon God's purpose for your life, you probably experience different chastisement of the Lord. So there is a product of chastisement. But to say that, what? God, we're going to pray for some fools because we don't want to take the mark of the beast. That is for Israel. And then you're looking at our gospel from the eternal view. I always say, you know, why would someone take a mark of a beast and knowing that their soul is going to be destroyed? Why would they do that? Well, it's not a matter of making a decision then. God has already determined who's going to take it, who's not going to take it. Our gospel shines light on those other covenants. So from the standpoint of our gospel, the person that takes the mark of the beast and is going to be destroyed, they were already, like Paul said in Romans, a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. So our gospel, you see how going from the framework of our gospel, it shines light on those other covenants. Just the fact, you know what? Just the revelation 25 years ago, the fact that again, speaking for myself, Ella Liberman, the fact that I'm not going to go through the tribulation, church, that was liberating. But you know what liberated me? The Paul's writings. The mystery that tells us that you have not been chosen for wrath, but you have been chosen to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I repeat, because I don't want no one coming out here saying I'm beating up the Lord's prayer. It is a wonderful prayer, but know what you're praying. When you read that prayer, understand that is Israel's prayer. a time that they're going through great persecution. God is going to lead and guide them. That's a prayer that God can use to encourage their heart. But it's not what? It's not a grace gospel prayer. So, well, in closing, well, if that's not what? That great prayer, what is our prayer? What is the prayer for the church? I'm glad you asked. Amen. I'm glad. Go to Ephesians. Amen. I'm glad you asked, church. Go to Ephesians. Amen. What is our prayer? Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Wait, somebody said, yes, we have a prayer. God, but understand. See, it tells you right there. The fact that I said go to Ephesians, what should I tell you, church? This is for us. Times past, but now, ages to come. What is our prayer? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18.
Now we're reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 16. Cease not, Paul writes, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory,
yes,
may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Yes.
The eyes of your understanding being or having been enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Read the next one, okay?
And what is, 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working, who believe according to the working of his mighty power.
Okay, church, I'm going to be sitting down in 5 minutes. Deacon Gavin, read that in the interlinear Greek text, please. Yes, please. Deacon Gavin's going to read this in the interlinear Greek, all three verses in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 16 from the interlinear Greek text. Paul writes, do not cease giving thanks on behalf of you, mention making on the prayers of me, in order that the God of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in a full knowledge of him, having been enlightened, the eyes of the heart of you, for thee to know you, what is the hope of the calling of him, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of him in the saints.
Now, church, I'm going to close on this. Notice Deacon Gavin just read, having been enlightened.
Having been.
In aorist tense. Church, yes. Paul's prayer. Paul knew by decree that some of God's people were enlightened with revelation and knowledge. And it was this knowledge and enlightenment came by God's purpose and decree for your life.
Yes.
Now, the next question is, the prayer is to be enlightened to what? I mean, Paul just did not make a blanket statement, church. To be enlightened to what? To be enlightened. Elder Karen's favorite verse. Go back to chapter 1. All of this is in connection. Paul's prayer was that the God's people were to be enlightened to what God did for you in chapter 1. Then read chapter 1 again, please. God's, Paul's prayer. That God's people were to be enlightened with the wisdom and knowledge of verse chapter 1. Go ahead, D. Go 1 through 4. Read it again. We started there, we can end here. Verse 1 through 4.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
Okay.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation or creation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Thank you. Paul's prayer, church, verse 16, 17, and 18, was that the saints be enlightened with the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge that you were chosen with him before the foundation of the world. Paul, it was so deep that Paul said, Lord, I pray that God's people be enlightened to what you did in chapter 1. All in one context. All in one manuscript. Prayer of enlightenment and encouragement based upon what God did in chapter 1. Because what God did in chapter 1, it would bump heads with these religious systems. That tells me, you've got to have some water, you got to have tongues, all this. I talked to a brother about a year ago, and he was married to the water. To the point where, if you do not go down in the water, you are going to hell. I said, hey brother, amen. Are you saying that if a person not baptized, yeah, Liverman, that's what the scripture says. You know, been over there in Matthew, right? Yes, kingdom gospel water baptism in that covenant. So I just decided, he's a good friend of mine. I said, your friends, you can kind of talk this way. I said, I tell you what. So you're saying no water, hell. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I said, we had lunch. I said, I tell you what, let's think of this situation. Let's say that you were going to out there way on the West Coast, and you decided to take a tour to the desert. And, they had some tour guys, and you see a person walking, and all of a sudden, that person has a heart attack. And before they have the heart attack, in manifestation, the Lord witnessed to him that they belong to Christ. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Now, the knowledge we have, that's just manifestation. But I said, brother, this person cries out on the desert. And then the Lord witnessed to him, he has the joy of the Lord in his heart. And he shouts, thank you, Jesus. And he leaves the time capsule. He's out of here. So I said, brother, what happens to that in that person? So he stumbled. See, you know what? You don't have to stumble. Just stay to the word. He stumbled. He said, Liverman, if that person was really saved, even though he was on a desert, God would have somehow led him to a pond. You see what happens? When you stay, when you get off track, you make up stuff. I said, no, brother. He was saved because God saved him before the foundation of the world. No. He didn't, thank God he did not have final water or nothing, because he was chosen. That was his course for God, directed him to what God did for him in eternity. So, church, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our prayer should be, Lord, continue to give me the enlightenment to your word, because as I grow in this grace, I'd be free from confusion, free from crazy stuff. I'd be free to focus on Christ. And the more I'm free, the more I'm liberated. And I know that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!